going Cadillac and drive you low and wide. Straight Ed's rocking a V16, air cool motor, vibration free. Your man's gone till 5, I'll get you home by 3. I'll be out front idling. When I'm going Cadillacin', I hear him playing my song.
Paul Birch has been recording his unique style of Americana for almost 20 years now, ever since his debut with Pan American Flash back in 1998. His latest CD, his 12th, just out from Plowboy Records, is called Meridian Rising, and on it, he tackles the life and work of country music icon Jimmy Rogers. I'm very pleased to welcome Paul Birch to our show now to talk and also perform two songs from his CD. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
This is a kind of imaginary version of the life of Jimmy Rogers, who, of course, is one of the first and most important country music stars. Why did you pick Jimmy Rogers?
I was inspired by a recording that Jimmy made late in his short career with a blues guitar player from St. Louis named Clifford Gibson. The recording was not released in Jimmy's lifetime, but I knew Jimmy's music pretty well at the time I heard this. This was about 15 years ago, and I just loved it. I was enchanted by it, is the best word. Clifford had a much different kind of vocabulary than Jimmy did on guitar, and a much deeper vocabulary, too. Jimmy had a very simple style of guitar, not quite like Johnny Cash, but a very big beat, and it was very elastic. It could absorb a lot of different kinds of music, and Jimmy was known for doing a lot of different kinds of music. What I loved about Clifford's style is that from a distance, it had the atmosphere of someone like Robert Johnson, and I don't mean that to take anything away from Johnson, because his sense of composition was so beautiful. But Clifford was playing an open tuning. He was kind of suggesting the beat rather than playing a driving beat like Jimmy usually would. It was probably inspired by a lot of the same music that everyone was inspired by at the time. But it was just quite cool to hear two musicians, first of all, enjoying each other's company. And I just started to think about Jimmy's life as a musician.
Well, Jimmy was inspiring a lot of people during his lifetime, and not just country musicians, but also black musicians. He was really influential. Do you still hear his influences on today's singers?
I'm sure there is. Probably they don't realize it so much, and I don't mean that as a take anything away from them, but I think in any artist who has a wide view, someone who thinks that it's of greater value to be an individual, in other words, that the more specific you are, the more honest you are, you're actually going to appeal to more people rather than to write in a kind of general way. And I think that's largely can be traced to Jimmy.
Didn't a music critic once call you a modern-day Jimmy Rogers?
Yes.
Did you take that as a compliment?
Oh, yeah, I did. And it was actually a kind of inspiration that probably led to the album in that and it was a very nice compliment, but I remember seeing the words modern and Jimmy together. And just sort of flipping my view of him and thinking of him, starting to think of him as a modern player, someone who sort of intuitively understood that there was a relationship between all kinds of American music. Which, not to be so general about it, but it was easy for him, and I think that made it easier for everyone who came after, you know, a stylist, whether it be someone like Ray Charles or Johnny Cash or Jerry Lee Lewis, who felt very free to play a lot of different kinds of music.
But you haven't done updates on his songs, his recordings here. You have written your own kind of versions of Jimmy Rogers and to tell his story?
Yes. The idea that popped into my mind a long time ago was to write from his point of view. And I think that was, and again, it wasn't to take anything away from how he's been written about by his biographers, but the things that I was interested in, they tended to not be interested in. Like, Jimmy went out to Hollywood, and at the same time he recorded with Louis Armstrong, he also had lunch with Laurel and Hardy. So I thought, you know, that kind of put me in a great mood, because when I was growing up, late night TV would have Laurel and Hardy, you know, and I just thought, you know, what a bunch of cool characters. Wouldn't that be great to have lunch with them, or and the record with Clifford, for instance. So I think it was, I was excited about the idea, or the thing that kept me going in it was to just try to write outside the kind of narrow framework of how I've been making records.
Well, he was open to playing with so many different musicians,
right.
and now you're doing that here. Although you're about to perform for us, we don't have a band here. We have you. What are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing a song called Gunter Hotel Blues, which the Gunter Hotel is in San Antonio. It's still there. Jimmy kept a room there. It's about an hour from where he had a house in Texas, in Kerrville, Texas. And also turns out the Gunter Hotel was where Robert Johnson recorded his first sessions with Don Law, whose secretary was actually my neighbor for many years. So everything
is connected.
I know, it's all connected.
But I get the feeling your performance also is incorporating acting a personality as well as singing and playing.
Well, not really, except that I don't think of it that way, but I am inclined as Jimmy is, you know, I mean, for instance, his blues singing tended to have sort of clipped phrasing, where if he was singing a ballad, his phrasing might be a little bit longer. But I think that's kind of, that's just the singers that I grew up listening to, whether it's, you know, rock or gospel, you feel the song as you sing it.
So, Gunter Hotel Blues.
Yes, sir.
And my guest is Paul Birch.
I spent my last night at the Gunter Hotel. I ain't no longer under your spell. Cows come home, farmer in the dell. I left a letter for you down at the Gunter Hotel. Got room all to myself, trying to get some sleep. Woke up to some strange woman standing over me. She knows my combination, thinks I swore I'd never tell. Room service, you better send up another room here at the Gunter Hotel. Leap and Lena won't leap no more. House detective found her dead on the floor. She done checked out to heaven or hell. Bless her heart, she paid my bill down at the Gunter Hotel. Now the law and all my friends out in Hollywood know where I'm a lodging, and it's understood when you're going uptown for downtown business, you better beware that we rock all night down at the Gunter Hotel. I spent my last night at the Gunter Hotel. I ain't no longer under your spell. Cows come home, farmer in the dell. I left a letter for you down at the Gunter Hotel. Now if a woman come claiming to be my wife, tell her that I've stepped out for the night. But if she says she's my friend, give her a key and let her in. They all know my name down at the Gunter Hotel. Now if you go down to Deep Ellum, you might disappear. All them police down there are volunteers. You better shake that trap or they'll take your billfold and your brand new shoes. Cause them women down in Deep Ellum, they'll give you the honky-tonk blues. I spent my last night at the Gunter Hotel. I'm no longer under your spell. Cows come home, farmer in the dell. I left a letter for you down at the Gunter Hotel. I left a letter for you down at the Gunter Hotel.
Paul Birch singing Gunter Hill Blues, one of the songs that is featured on his new CD called Meridian Rising on Plowboy Records. Some people remember Rogers today for his yodeling, but your yodeling on this album is pretty restrained.
It is. And that is a practical reason, is that I am not the exceptional yodeler that Jimmy was. And I also thought, you know, I justify it by thinking that since I'm writing from his point of view, as if he is telling it, or I'm in the car next to him while, you know, finishing his sentences while he's telling it, then the yodel is sort of his professional signature, and he doesn't really need to do it when he's not working. So that's kind of how I get away. That's how I'll justify it on WNYC. But
his yodeling was not like Swiss yodeling, and it really did have an incredible impact on a lot of the popular singers of the day. The title of your album, Meridian Rising, refers to Meridian, Mississippi, where he was born and buried. He died very young. He was known as the singing brakeman. So did he work on the railroads very long?
No, I don't believe that he did. His father was a supervisor, a foreman, on the railroads, and I think he probably found work wherever he could, and when Jimmy was a boy and traveled with him, that's probably how he got familiar with the jargon. Meridian was a somewhat cosmopolitan city at the time. Lots of rail lines going through Meridian. Had a pro baseball team. Had two Carnegie libraries. And so it was, and I think it was a show town. I think quite a lot of shows came through there.
And what did he die of?
He died of tuberculosis. He had tuberculosis actually. I think he was diagnosed a couple years before he was first recorded in Bristol, Tennessee, which is the same session that the Carter family was discovered.
And how old was he?
I think he was 35 years old. And he died here in New York, actually. There was a hotel near Times Square. I think the building is still there. It was called the Taft Hotel when he died. And the record that actually made him famous, T for Texas, he also recorded in New York. He invited himself to New York, really, and pushed himself on Ralph Peer and said, "I'm here. I'm happen to be in town. How about you pay for my hotel?" It's called the Manger at the time, and Peer already thought he was an interesting character and thought, "Well, what the hell?" Put him up at the hotel and gave him a session out in Camden, New Jersey,
and did not regret it.
No, he didn't regret it.
It's a bit of a stretch to connect Rogers with the next song that you're going to perform, which is about another major city, to Paris. On the CD, it sounds a lot like Stephen Grappelli, Django Reinhardt.
Right. Well, one of the things that excited me about doing the record is it gave me an opportunity to kind of, in a playful way, touch on all the music that was happening at that time, or very close to happening at that time. We know, with the idea of if you to put yourself in the shoes of someone from that time who loved music and had a great feel for music and had money in his pocket for the first time, what would he hear? And the idea to Paris was really just an excuse to play with that sound, which it's fudging a little bit because I don't believe the Hot Club formed, or maybe it was just forming at that time of Jimmy's death. But the idea for this was really just to kind of find a way to weave in this idea that Jimmy was recklessly enthusiastic for his whole life. It's very difficult for him to slow down, and he didn't, even though he knew he was dying from the moment he made his first record, he didn't really talk about that and tried to stay on his feet. And so this was an opportunity really for, a woman he was with to say, you know, let's go to Paris. Everybody's going to Paris. And for him to have to admit both to her and to himself, you know, I probably won't make it. So this is called To Paris with Regrets.
Oh, I never will see Paris, but I hear you're living there. Won't you tell me what I missed? Put it in a kiss and a letter that you sent from there. I hope you send it soon. I won't live another moon. If that's Jesus with my bell, tell him to keep knock knock until I get my mail from Paris. Oh, I never will see Paris or walk the Pal de Rue. The closest that I came was the scent of the lilies in your perfume. Oh, how they filled the room while I was staring at the wall when you had me on the floor, rubbing my back with alcohol from Paris. If Paris is a place with no worries or pain, put my photo in your pocket, throw my soul in the Seine. Wherever it may flow, high above or down below, on a starry night, set me free. Oh, if that ain't love, have mercy on me. Oh, I wish I could play Paris, try Bricktops Monaco, dance all night at the Rotonde with the poets and the painters at Montparnasse. And wherever my blue yodel would land, there'd be some fine little mama right then ready to leave her man in Paris. If I went to Paris, what you think that I'd find? A whole lot of women like you who ain't never satisfied. Or is it like Texas where the horizon never falls and the nights are long and my soul is free? Honey, if that ain't love, have mercy on me. Oh, I never will see Paris, but I hear you're living there. Won't you tell me what I miss? Put it in a kiss and a letter that you send from there. I hope you send it soon. I won't live another moon. I hear Jesus with my bell. Tell him to keep knock knock until I get my mail from Paris. From Paris.
Paul Birch, who has collaborated with a lot of different musicians over the course of his career, Lamb Chop, Mark Knopfler, Vic Chestnut, Ralph Stanley. In fact, the critic Chet Flippo said that you were the best duet partner Ralph Stanley has found since his brother Carter Stanley died in 1966. That must have been a
thrill. Oh, good old Chet. What a sweetie. That's very nice.
Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but we have the CD. Yeah. Any live performances in the works?
Throughout the year, I'll be back, you know, back and around.
Do you bring a band with you?
I do when I can. you know, it's tough out there. But yeah, we hope to perform the record in its entirety in a few cities. So,
well, we're going to go out with Fast Fuse Blues from Meridian Rising. It's been a great pleasure talking with you.
It's a great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
I'm a fast fuse, mama, won't you?